Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 250.
250, a quarter of a thousand.
Uh-huh.
Which is about how old I feel, Pierre, because today I am 34.
That's right. As we record this, Phil is birthdaying real hard.
I'm 34 freaking years old, dude. It's old, man. I feel like... at some point, I jumped from young into old really quick. When was my last young age? I guess 32 was kind of young.
You think it happened quickly?
Yeah.
Why 32? Why 32 and not 29?
It's like how Hemingway described going bankrupt, little by little, then all at once. That's how I feel about going old. I don't know. I just 34 suddenly hit me as quite a big number.
Yeah, I guess it's mid-30s one of now. The first slightly nothingy ages.
Yes, I think that's it. It's nothingy. 33 is my Jesus year. 34? Who's fucking famous for being 34? No one.
No. No.
Name one person to 34. You can't do it.
Yeah, well, this... So you think that over the last 2 years you went through your sort of Doctor Who transformation into an old bitch.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it was lockdown, but maybe it's the amount of time I spend at home these days and how much I just love to sit at home and sleep. Although I just got back, Pierre, from my first ever ski trip. I learned to ski, which made me feel young.
Well, this is it. I mean, the last time we spoke, we were recording in advance because you can't podcast on the slopes.
No, not yet. What a first that'll be. We've done podcasts in a car. Can we podcast on the slopes?
Ski pod.
Ski pod.
Yeah.
I think that's one way to feel young, is to learn something new, because I've never skied before. I had to take lessons. We were up every morning. I felt like I'd taken a job in the Alps. I was up every morning to start ski school at 9 a.m. on the Alps.
Yeah.
On the mountains. And it's fucking hard, dude.
Was it rough?
Well, it was beautiful. There's so much snow and everyone's so nice. The French people outside of Paris are so nice.
It's amazing.
It's amazing,
it?
Yeah.
The second you leave Paris, it's like, oh, this is France. It's just that one fucking town. And generally speaking, everyone else in France fucking can't stand Parisians either. So
right, yeah. Now, outside of Paris, everyone's like, bonjour, ça va? Allô? Oh, yeah. Oui, oui. Oh. They're so smiley and nice. I was like, are you actually French? They're so good.
Outside of Paris, they're like the French people in learning tapes and textbooks.
Bonjour, yeah, really, yeah.
Ça va?
I have four apples. The food was fine. Alp food is just cheese and ham.
Yeah.
It's just cheese, ham, and potatoes. I swear to God, one dinner we had a three-course dinner at a restaurant given to us by the organizers. The starter, main, and dessert were just cheese and potatoes on different shaped plates. I swear to God. It's just all cheese and potatoes. Raclette.
This is the dream.
They have that raclette there.
Oh.
Which is that big wheel of cheese that they press against a heat lamp and you scrape it all off with a knife.
It looks like they cut it with a lightsaber.
Yeah. That's really nice.
I've always wanted to watch them do that. What's it? Did they do it? Did they bring half the wheel to your table?
Yeah, they just bring you half the wheel. They plug in the lamp and they just put their hands up and they go, no questions asked. Whatever happens, happens. However much cheese is left when we come back, none of our business. You do what you need to do.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible. And then you just they give you the knife and you just scrape off whatever you want.
That's nuts.
You're sick. I mean, I don't really give a fuck about cheese. I think you give more of a fuck than I do.
I give to cheese to me. I'm like Barney Gumble with cheese. I need to keep a fucking eye on it. Like, I love cheese so much.
Yeah, I this is one of the, I think, you know, there's some things you are lucky not to like diet wise. Like, I don't really like sugar that much, which is lucky. And also, I don't give that much of a fuck about cheese, which seems lucky.
Yeah, it's two of the most Asian opinions you have. Desserts and cheese, you're not that interested.
That's true, actually. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Other Asians do put sugar in their savory food.
Well, that's, you guys still sneak it in there. Yeah. Still sneak it in there. I think the fatty or unhealthy Asian thing to like is oil.
Lover oils. Yeah. Chili oils, sunflower oil, sesame oils. And fatty pork. Love some fatty pork.
Oh, that's true, isn't it? Pork belly absolutely everywhere.
Mm. But then not much alcohol, so you miss out on the fattening there.
Mm.
But yeah, lot of cheese and potato and ham, which is fine. But honestly, one day I for lunch I had a burger without cheese or bacon, and I felt like I was having a salad. I felt like I was just eating a cos lettuce.
You're having one of those like nourishment bowls.
Yeah, like, it felt like a poke bowl. But so the first day, the hardest thing about skiing for me is you have to put on the ski boots, and they're so hard that I swear because they brace against your shins going forward, right?
Yes, yeah.
So you end up with something. I got something called shin bang. I looked it up. It's a thing. Because my shins kept banging against the hard front of the boot. That I swear there's an indentation in the bone of my right shin. It does.
Shin bang.
It just means that your shin keeps banging into the hard front of the boot. And you end up with a real sore shin.
Yeah, but it's only the right one you did it to.
The right one is worse. I did it to both, and the right one seems bent out of shape, literally. Like it's bowed now.
God. But the boots...
It's now the shape of, in the Paralympics, the blade runners.
Yeah. Well, they've got the fake legs.
Yeah, and it bends backwards like that, so...
Yeah,
I'm now actually supported a bit better than I used to be, but
One leg's good at sprinting now. the boots, I know what you mean. From memory, I remember thinking like these are like Space Marine boots. These are fucking Warhammer shoes.
Yeah, they're so heavy, and you feel like a baby giraffe because you're lifted up weirdly high.
Yeah.
But then you're more stable than you expect because they're so heavily weighted that you expect to start falling over, but you're actually quite secure.
Yeah, and they're made of that kind of hard plastic that's like stormtrooper armor.
Yeah. Everything's made of this like carbon, indestructible carbon fiber, like the skis themselves. You have to clitter clack. You got to smack the snow off the bottom of your boot on these skis. And it's like, I don't scratch the skis, but they don't get scratched at all because they're made out of fucking carbon fiber. They're all fucking NASA shit, man.
Yeah.
But I fell down a lot. It was very counterintuitive, yes. I fell down in front of the kids. and it's so It's so undignified falling down on skis because you can't get up. It's so hard to get up because you've got these fucking poles sticking out of your feet and you can't get your feet under your body. You can't get your center of gravity over your feet and you're just wriggling about. There's one bit where I just crashed into like a barrier, like a netting. And I was just sort of, my feet were sort of behind me. My legs akimbo. And my shoulders between my feet, if you can imagine that.
Oh, you were curled backwards because of the skis sticking
out. It was like I was a rock star and I just did a slide. A forward slide, you know? And I was backwards.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just couldn't move. And I looked dead. I just couldn't move. And as I crashed, this older lady was just hammering in the poles of the net.
Yeah, the fence post.
Yeah, in. And I just, ah! And she's still hammering and she's getting closer to me. And she's like, oh. And she takes her mallet and she just whacks the back of my ski, the button, the basically the latch that ejects your boot. She yes. used the same hammer that she was hitting the fence post. Oh, and she just like whacked my ski to pop me out of it. You just feel so helpless and stupid and like a child.
Like a big insect.
Yeah, like a praying mantis or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, it's sometimes, did you jam the backs of your skis in the snow?
That kept happening. The front bit of my skis kept like overlapping over each other, and that completely fucks you up. And they stick, and I couldn't separate them. And then you're done for. I just kept doing things that made me done for. My I kept like scooping the snow with my skis and I was done for. I kept bending my knees in the wrong direction and I was done for a bit. My girlfriend, though, was a natural. She was really nervous. She was so much more nervous than I was to get started learning. And then she just really took to it. At one point, our ski instructor, Florian.
Ooh.
Florian. He said to her, I have nothing to say. You are skiing. And he'd say to me, okay, I'll come with you, Phil.
At any point did he say, you are done for?
You are done for. Yeah. One instructor, we had a different instructor for the first day, and he just said, your left leg is like broken. And he didn't mean like I'd broken my leg. He meant like it wasn't working. Like it's malfunctioning.
Oh, right.
He's like, your left leg is broken. It doesn't work.
A terrifying prophecy. Did his eyes roll into the back of his skull when he said it?
Yeah, and he floated off the ground for a little bit. His skis dangling in the air.
Your left leg is broken. But I see it.
I think skiing is just like an excuse to look at pretty mountains, because I think you can't just say, I want to go look at the pretty mountains and go up the mountain. I want to build a whole lift system to get me up the pretty mountain. They had to invent like
yeah.
a sport around it.
Yeah, I want to sit in a cabin and eat cheese from a
yeah.
liquid cheese from a bowl and look at mountains. And they go, well, you better earn it somehow.
Yeah, you're going to have to fill yourself with melted cheese and potato and ham and then instantly take a lift up a mountain and play chicken with gravity. Otherwise, you don't get any of the fun stuff.
Yeah, everything comes at a price. And the price here is you need to rent an insane jumpsuit from a surly man.
Well, I've bought the kit now. I bought like a ski outfit now.
Did you?
Yeah,
investing.
It's like, but I basically bought a wedding dress for the amount of use I'm going to get out of it. You know what I mean? And it's like so expensive as well. I mean, it's really like going to a wedding. They make it's a one-off basically, and they make you pay extra for it. Like I don't think a jacket does normally cost this much, but they used to call it a ski jacket, and you can charge £500.
Did you at any point think that like was it worth it, or were you at some points like whenever I very rarely buy nice things like a nice jacket. And when I do, I'm so warm already in a t-shirt that when I wear a nice jacket, it's like, well, I'm so hot, I feel sick now. Like, this jacket's too nice.
Oh, my God. I mean, my first day skiing was the hottest day of my life. I was surrounded by snow on a mountain in the French Alps, and I was boiling because there's the physical activity of moving around, but also everyone's just like, you gotta wear thermals, you gotta wear a thick jumper, you gotta get a special ski jacket, and then you get your helmet, and then your ski trousers, and the thermals under the puffy ski trousers. I was so hot. I can't remember last time I sweated that much. Surrounded by snow.
It's fucking bullshit, man. I think it's the people saying that are always people with like fucking 2% body fat from some ski catalog.
Yeah,
like. Sexy shredded people, and it's like, well, of course you're cold. Like, there's a 1 millimeter skin barrier between your muscles and the snow.
Yeah.
Like I'm boiling hot all the time. I think I could ski in a fucking t-shirt.
I honestly think I could have done that.
Yeah.
I finally found my ambient temperature, by the way, and it's the French Alps in winter. It was so nice.
Yeah, maybe you could become a mountain person.
I got recognized a couple of times.
Did you?
Yeah. I got a message from a pod bud who ran a brewery in a nearby alpine town. Didn't make it to the town, I'm afraid. But there's one bit where I saw skiing on the baby slope, like the flatter slopes on the mountain.
Yeah.
And I heard someone go, "Phil!" And I looked to the side where all the serious skiers are skiing down the mountain. And I just sort of, couldn't tell who it was, and I was just blindly waving at the people passing by. And then I realized that it had come from someone in one of the lifts passing up overhead. So all it looked like was I just turned around like royalty and just decided to wave the oncoming skiers. Yes, welcome back to the bottom. Welcome.
Like a dictator.
Yeah.
Well done. So it was someone on the lift had shouted.
Yeah.
Did you ever see who?
No, because everyone's wearing fucking goggles and helmets and shit.
Yeah, it's disguise central, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like being recognized on the Death Star by... It's like, which stormtrooper fucking said that?
Which... oh, man, the social anxiety on board of that fucking craft. Ugh.
Yeah, can you imagine two stormtroopers like going... Or one stormtrooper saying to the other, "Oh, we've met before." Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah, exactly. it was only a week ago. I don't know. I hate this Death Star. I should have known from the name. I would have hated it here. Did you get any like angry ski people? Because on the one occasion, really, that I've done it, we had our like training instructor was probably the angriest Italian man I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
It was like he'd been sent to teach people how to ski as a punishment. They'd caught him cheating in the Olympics, and they were like, "We will give you the most painful torture known to the Italian skiing fraternity, helping English speakers learn how to ski."
Yeah, I mean, that does sound like nightmarish for them.
So angry about people skiing. So easily upset.
Everyone was incredibly patient. Everyone was very nice. I mean, everyone was mainly whizzing past me on the slopes, like literal children.
Yeah.
Like, who are so good at skiing, they're already wearing novelty ski outfits. Like, one kid was just dressed in like a big banana, just dressed in a banana costume, just whizzing past me. While I was on the ground.
Like fucking Mario Kart, you've crashed in this fucking
Yeah, they're wearing like unlocked skins. They've already completed the game of skiing.
That's why when you went into the ski like shop, you could only choose from one or two items from a big long range of completely blacked out items.
Yeah. Yeah, and like the bars, the stats bars of my gear only like didn't even get to halfway, like it's still in
the green
portion.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. It's so annoying in a game where you start like that and you go, I've got so far to go.
Yeah.
I've got so far to go in this game.
But that's always my favorite. Like I think I've said before, I love tutorials. I love playing tutorials in games. And I like learning things from a beginner. I like learning the basics. So in skiing, you learn something called the pizza.
Pizza slice.
Where you got to slow down, you angle your skis inwards in front of you, as it were, to make a sort of pizza slice shape. And then you go parallel with your skis, and that's French fries. So it's pizza and French fries.
Have you ever seen that South Park clip?
Even instructions include melted cheese, Pierre, when you're skiing. Even the instructions include melted cheese and potatoes. Ah, shit, I should have done that joke. Why don't I was doing there doing gigs. I should have done that joke.
That would have been perfect. Now you've need to. Now that's the joke equivalent of your skiing equipment. One use, you know. You've got to fucking try and get as much out of that as possible. Have you ever seen that South Park clip, Pizza Slice French Fries?
No.
The South Park kids learn how to ski.
Oh, right.
And the instructor's a bit of a meme. He just keeps saying, "If you don't pizza slice when you're going too fast, you're going to have a bad time." Like all of his advice about like what to avoid ends with, "You're going to have a bad time." Like if this, if that. And then you're going to have a bad time is a sort of meme.
Then I'll send you the clip. Time.
And you're going to have a bad time. I think that's what he says. What did you think that you burned off all the calories from the cheese? Do you think that's possible?
It feels like there's an impossible amount of calories to burn off. I didn't eat too much. And skiing is harder work than it looks, because it's a lot of just like core work. It's a lot of just like tensing, like staying upright.
Yeah.
Yeah, and positioning yourself and walking in the skis is a lot of hard work because it's so inefficient when you're walking.
Yeah.
And you're like just staying put basically, and your skis are just slipping along the snow like that. Or sometimes you're even going backwards because it's like slightly angled downwards, and you just start sliding backwards and just like yeah, it's pretty undignified. Although I think I got the hang of it. Like 2 days in, I was skating on the skis and shit, you know, when you start moving.
Oh.
Basically skating on the skis, and I learned to turn. It's interesting. I did one joke, right, Pierre, and I'll never be able to use it again.
Yeah.
So the thing you learn when you're skiing is to turn right, you apply pressure to the left ski, and that turns you right. And to turn left, you apply pressure to the right ski, and then that turns you left. It's a bit counterintuitive. And I said, skiing is very counterintuitive. Keep in mind, we're in France, we're in the French Alps, and skiing is very counterintuitive. For example, if you lean gently left for long enough, you will suddenly swing right, which is actually the story of French politics over the last few years.
Nice.
Thank you.
Did they all go, ho, 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 ho,
well, they were all English. The people are all English. They're all like people there either there for the season or there for holiday. And so I think they actually is more like performing in a sort of regional art center in England.
I mean,
I did a fucking HS2 joke and it went down all right. And I was in France.
Oh, wow. So it was like cultured expats.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, skiing expats. The some of them are there for the whole season, i.e. until the end of March. It's like,
how though?
Yeah, this is what I want to know. Because they're not working there.
You sort of want to say to them, like, well, what did you do?
What did you do? How did you end up like this? What are you trying to run away from?
How have you done this? How have you done this where you've gone, I'm going to... was this your plan? Did you think, okay, I'll be like a, I don't know, a banker or something, and I'll make enough money that I can afford somehow to just ski for like months.
I mean, it was people who worked
in like... Do you take conference calls from the slopes?
It was people who worked in finance and shit, so it might be possible. Or maybe it's one of those things, yeah. You know how like it's actually cheaper for old people to just book endless cruises than to be in a retirement home?
Yes, that's maybe right, like isn't that. It? Oh, right. So they go, okay, well, I don't have a house or a mortgage or rent. I just eat cheese and potatoes and ski up and down.
Yeah.
And I do all my office work when I'm on the ski lift. When I'm sat on the ski lift, I get my pocket laptop out and my special typing gloves, and I send my little emails.
My little emails.
Maybe they come over from Switzerland.
Ah, maybe. Well, we were on the Swiss border, so you could actually ski into Switzerland and back into France where we were.
Oh.
Mm.
So you could have escaped into neutral territory at any time.
I could have. But yeah, I think I might go again next year. We should go Bud Pod on the slopes next year.
Yeah, Ski Pod.
Bud Ski.
Yeah.
What's new with you? How's your week?
Busy week. I have begun my watch, my shift as the tour support for Mr. Frank Skinner.
The night
that
watch.
Has begun. We were in Swindon last night, the jewel of Wiltshire.
Yes, beautiful Swindon town, city of dreams.
City of Lights, Swindon. Swindon last night. Tonight we're going to Chelmsford. Tomorrow we're going to Bridport.
Bridport. Yes,
and
is that...
It's in Devon.
Oh.
It's near Weymouth.
I'm
always
Dorset. Getting fucking confused with the ports, man. Bridport, Southport, Newport.
Oh, yeah.
What's the one... Is the one near Liverpool Southport? Because that's which is confusing because it's in the north, but it's south of Liverpool.
Yeah, it's any of these ports. There's so many. I know what you mean.
It's a land of ports.
Also, because I always thought somewhere that sounded like Bridport would be in Wales. To me, that's Welsh sounding.
Yeah, it sounds very Welsh, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure why. And then Salisbury. The day after
Salisbury. Yeah, Salisbury's a good one. I did one of my favorite tour shows, The Last Tour in Salisbury. It's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Did you see awesome. Stonehenge?
What's the name of the theater in Salisbury?
Playhouse, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. Awesome. One of my favorite shows.
Oh, sick. Okay, great. Yeah.
West Country's good like that, man. West Country, they lean a bit hippie, I guess, West Country, but they're fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's your adopted area.
It is my adopted area. I think if I retired, I might live somewhere in West Country, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess that's open the Crystal Warehouse.
Chung Fu's Crystal Warehouse.
Yeah, you make an absolute mint.
It's true.
And then, so we're doing these, and then we're doing a West End run, and then we're doing more national and dates, and then some Irish ones as well. So it's busy, busy, busy. And then, Phil, Frank breaks from touring for Easter, and in that break, I'm doing my Soho Theatre run in London.
Whoa.
End of March, start of April.
Pierre's addicted to the stage.
No rest for the wicked, so I must be the worst little boy in the country. No rest.
You're working hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots of travel. Me and Frank and this guy Johnny in the car is the tour manager, and then it's going to be Omar, who it's quite nostalgic for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite nostalgic for me because me, Frank, and Omar were on tour just before COVID, late 2019 and early 2020.
Mm.
So the old posse's back together.
The gang's back together for one more heist.
Well, this is it. Yeah, exactly. And I think it would be quite a good heist movie combo of characters. Me, Frank Skinner, and Omar is a very, very stylish very, very stylish man. He dresses in these like fabulous suits at all times, but with like pink Doc Martens on.
Wow.
Yeah, he'd be the suave kind of face man.
Face man.
The face man, the face of the scam, of the grift.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
He's the one going to the meetings, opening a big suitcase, showing it to people, you know, in heist films.
Yeah.
He's sliding briefcases over tables.
It's saying there's a lot more where that came from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's wearing a carefully chosen jewelry for the people you're trying to scam to look at and think, this guy's the real deal.
Yes, yes. I actually am imagining him with it wearing golden bracelets and stuff.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Just a single ruby in it, but it's fine enough quality to imply all that needs to be implied.
Great. Well,
yeah.
So Pierre's on at the Soho Theatre.
Yes.
I'm gearing up for my big Apollo show on the 23rd of February, guys. That's 1 month, 1 month away.
It's the big boy.
Selling pretty well, and there are a few tickets left, but they won't be hanging around for too much longer, I don't think. So get on that Eventim Apollo website and get yourself some tickets if you've not seen my show yet. It'll be the last outing of this show, last outing of Wang in there, baby, the Apollo, on the 23rd of February. Also, I'm in Northampton a bit randomly on the 20th of February because we had to move the date because of crumbling concrete, which I am assured is now fine.
I had to move my Northampton date because of crumbling concrete as well.
Yeah, I think we're in the same building.
Yeah, I'm going to be up there randomly within the next couple of weeks as well.
Well, you tell me if it crumbles. If Pierre survives, then all is good for my show.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. If I get decapitated by a piece of falling ceiling, then that is a warning sign.
Canary in the concrete mine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's amazing that like things have gone so badly now that like metaphor is no longer necessary and the country is literally falling apart. You don't even need to be like, God, imagine. It's almost as though metaphorically all of the theaters, schools, hospitals have bits falling off. You go, no, 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 that's happening. Don't worry, that is happening.
Yeah,
that is literally happening. It's like if London Bridge was falling down. It's that level of insane. They just go, what's the point in imagery if it's going to be this obvious? We should do some correspondance, Philippe.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oui, correspondence for me, correspondence for you, correspondence duty. Oui, correspondence for me, lots of lovely letters from our fans and pod buds.
Yeah, this is the Alpine air has been good for your singing.
I was yodeling all week.
Yeah, yeah. I got sent from. I got sent a online ad thing from Bags.
Bags.
Yeah.
Nice one, Bags. I know a Bags. But it can't be the same Bags.
How many Who's Bags? Who's the Bags you know?
Huh?
Who's the Bags you know?
He runs rap battles.
Well, unless my friend Bags has drastically changed his life, I'd think these are different guys.
Okay. I just didn't know the name Bags was so common.
Well,
was that Christian? You know. Christian name?
Huh?
Christian name, Bags?
I think it's just a nickname.
Yeah.
But then who knows? Maybe it's like sometimes in celebrities, or sometimes you meet someone and they're christened, their actual name is just Tom, you know?
Yes. Like my dad's christened name is Benny, but that's because of being Malaysian.
Yes.
And choosing his own name.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah. The old-fashioned names that people choose. I mean, there was a kid from Hong Kong at my school called Albert.
Yeah, no, I knew a few Alberts. Well, we had Edbert. We had a Bathsheba. Bathsheba. I went to school with Bathsheba.
That's amazing. Also, Edbert is like a name from literally the 9th century.
I know, it's wild. I don't know where they got these names from. What book they found them all in. But
it's like if your name was just like Cromwell Chan or something.
But yeah, that's the names great. Of like Anglo-Saxon kings.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the final English kings.
Yeah, Ethelberger. Things like that. Whoa.
Aethelran. And yeah. Aethelran Chu. They really were like that.
Ethelred Wang. That's a great name. If you have a kid, just whatever gender, just call them Ethelred.
I actually do. I think I might call. I might name. Is there a way of me naming my child something like Ethelred and not looking like a fucking EDL member?
Well, yeah, I mean, because I don't think people would accuse you of white supremacy if you did it. If you did it, like, I think if anything, you should make the most of this chance.
That's true.
You could call your kid Enoch Powell Wang and people would still be like, that's fine.
I don't think so. I think you overestimate my person of color currency.
Maybe. What's your name? Enoch Powell. Wait.
First name, Enoch-Powell.
Enoch-Powell. Enoch Powell.
You can call me EP. Actually, I'd rather you called me EP.
Yeah. Yeah, or like Nocky. little Nocky. Little Nocky Peas. That would be so funny to have some really young far right person greeting an elderly Enoch Powell, Knocky Pee, like kind of high fiving him. So Bag sent me this saying this was genuinely just shown to me, and it's one of those mad clickbait things. And so it's I'll tell you the caption first. Harry Potter actress stuns fans with grown up pics.
Oh God. I hate these creepy fucking... Do you remember what she was like as a child? Well, she's an adult now.
They're all
fucking shit, man.
They're all grown up. It turns out that when you saw a photo or a movie of a child 10 years ago, in that time, that child has aged 10 years. Because that's how time works.
Oh, no. Harry Potter actress. Wait, have they gone with a picture for this?
Oh, yeah.
Is it of Emma Watson?
I actually cannot tell who it's supposed to be because on the right-hand side is a picture of what I would say is something you could probably buy on Getty Images as like generic red carpet lady.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to show you that on the camera. See?
Oh, yeah. It's a lady in a sort of...
Sparkly dress.
She's blondish. She looks a bit like Miley Cyrus crossed with any famous blonde actress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Her name is Amy, famous blonde actress. And then that's the after picture. So that's obviously a picture of an adult I've just shown you, Phil.
Yes.
And so that's the right-hand side. So that's the after. Now, I'm going to give you three guesses as to what you think the before picture could possibly be, given that it says Harry Potter actress.
Is it Dobby?
You've absolutely got it.
What?
It's fucking Dobby.
No! Oh, my God.
You fucking got
it. I've clickbait whispered. That's... Look. No. Okay, the picture is on the left, Dobby. On the right, a sexy blonde actress lady. So Dobby was played by a little girl?
Well, this is what we're supposed to think. We're supposed to go... Wait, hang on. I can't believe you got it right.
I just went to the most insane possible version of this clickbait.
You could get a job writing this stuff, maybe. So we're supposed to either look at this and go, okay, hang on. Hang on a fucking second. Either the more logical one of going, okay, so Dobby was played by a little girl. Or we look at it and go, Dobby was a child, was supposed to be a child.
Mm.
Dobby's grown up to be a hot blonde actress. What? Dobby, what? It's such a kind of... Also, I zoomed in on the picture and it's sponsored by a website called Lawyer's Favorite.
What? What does the legal profession have to do with this?
What would you do if you had your personal lawyer? You had a lawyer that you hired, and they were like, "Oh, by the way, you know Dobby."
What? I'm on trial for murder.
Yeah, I know that, but you know Dobby
from the Harry Potter series.
Yeah, Dobby. Yeah,
right.
Do you want to see what? She looks like now.
Okay, my first question is she?
Yeah.
My second question turns out. How does this pertain to my defense?
Well, your third question should be how could a 3D object grow up? Your defense should be, we should say, look, it might seem unlikely that Mr. Wang is innocent, but if... doesn't it also seem unlikely that Dobby could grow up to be this hot?
And obviously, Dobby has.
And Dobby has. Obviously, we live in a world where unlikely things can happen, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. If this 3D elf could become so fuckable, doesn't it seem like... Mr. Wang might have changed his ways.
Oh, God. Yeah, the URLs that are on the bottom right hand of all those images, clickbait images, are absolutely baffling. And I bet the story will be, this girl was like an extra in the background of a chemist or like of a spell class, and she's now an actress doing okay. Also, yeah. In Harry Potter, you remember there were characters like Dobby.
Yeah, they've just gone, we've decided to represent the entire franchise of Harry Potter with a picture of Dobby. But also, look, this lady who has so grown up that you couldn't possibly know or care that she was a child actress before, because, like you say, she was in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, bizarre. Really, really bizarre.
That's great. That's brilliant. Yeah. Clickbait. Thanks, Banks.
I got sent an interesting story by Han.
Han! You the woman, Han, because I'm guessing Han stands for Hannah? Or Han.
Well, it's an Instagram name. I can't quite tell. I don't know. Maybe. It just says Han. Anyway. It's responding to our chat about brunch.
Brunch.
Yeah, okay. And you were saying that bottomless brunch should be illegal because we can't handle it.
It should be illegal in the UK.
Han says, great bud pod today. So here's a story about the British and brunches.
Oof.
I think Han is a lady. Yes, Han is a lady. Yes, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, British and brunches. My husband and I were in New Delhi for 3 years as I worked for the British High Commission there.
Cool. I love jobs like that, like Foreign Office kind of like commission ambassador jobs. It's just so cool. It's fucking old school.
It's so sick.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So there was a local bar, I suppose, that did Saturday brunches that were really cheap, so it got really popular. You used to go and there was loads of food and loads of booze, very much the Prosecco and egg stomach scramble.
Yeah, why don't we add a lot of spices and chili to that mix?
Yeah. Oh, I wish someone could chop green chilies into this egg booze foam that's in my fucking torso now. So, we always paid at the end after the brunch. And then all of a sudden, everyone who came there from the British High Commission had to pay at the beginning of the brunch, while everyone else got to pay at the end.
Oh, interesting. That's hilarious and devastating.
It turns out that a group of people, bearing in mind we were diplomats representing the UK, a group of people from the British High Commission had at some point left without paying.
Ugh.
So like, you're the hooligans now, we don't trust you. So I suppose in a way they really did represent the UK in all its get fucked on a weekend and behave appallingly glory.
Oh man, what a humiliation. We used to be respected on the world stage, Pierre. We used to be considered the reliable ones. We used to pay our debts, Pierre.
Yeah. Reliable, if not respected, then at least feared. Or yep. Every now and then, Phil, a country like Iran or sometimes like Yemen, sometimes Saudi Arabia, sometimes Russia, not really China, will say something that is such a compliment to the UK. They'll be like, you know what? America might be powerful, but the real sneaky plan, I bet this was done by the British. This is their spies probably set this up. And I always see that and I think, God bless you, keeping the brand alive. Such a compliment. Such a compliment for someone to be paranoid about you if you're a country.
Absolutely.
We can't keep the fucking lights on.
Can't even pay for brunch.
We can't pay for brunch. James Bond had to
cheap
run out.
Cheap as well. Han had started this saying it was a cheap brunch.
Said it was cheap, yeah. Disgraceful. We got a message from... they don't really have a name so much as a kind of email address thing. So CT, let's say CT.
CT! Why am I thinking... What's a CT scan?
Oh, like a... Yeah, like a medical thing.
Yeah. That's what
CT,
I can
CT of broken dreams.
Nice. We CT built this CT on rock and roll.
Yeah, we built this CT. CT says, regarding our listener who thought he had a cane rat on his face.
Oh, yeah, the humongous rat, yeah.
Mm. CT says, once I was staying at a friend's house and I woke to a strange sensation with a moist thing on my neck. It was my tongue. No, it wasn't.
Hanging out like Homer Simpson.
Yeah. I woke up to a strange sensation with a moist thing on my neck. I screamed and I threw it across the room and scuttled backwards in fear. I know exactly the scuttling they mean. Sitting up in bed, bum inching towards the wall.
Yes. Knees to the chest.
Yeah. My friend woke with a start and went to see what had induced such a reaction. It was a frog.
Nighttime frog.
It was a night frog. No one had any clue where it had come from. My friend took the traumatized creature to the garden and we all went back to sleep.
Ugh. I got at a girlfriend's house once.
Yeah?
Where I was in the shower and I looked down in the sort of grooves of the base of the shower and there was like a little black blob.
Yeah.
And I was like, where did the little black blob come from? And then behind it was another little black blob. And, huh? And I towed it and it was squidgy. I was like, whoa, what? And because I don't have my glasses on the shower, I had to get out really close. And there were slugs. There were slugs in the shower.
No, coming out the drain.
I think they climbed up through the drain pipe or something.
Yeah.
When there's an outside thing inside, it's horrible. I hate it when an outside thing is inside.
Yeah, you see, this is not your domain.
No, this is not right. I had a slug on. I hate slugs. And there's always fucking slugs around here. And there's a slug on my front door one day. And I had to open the door to get inside the house. And so the slug sort of swung with the door. And it was briefly past the threshold of my home.
Yes.
And I was like, no! And I had to close the door to get it out.
Like Dracula.
Yes. You are not invited.
Oh, no. Ugh. Yeah, in the shower as well. The shower, a place of clean.
Yes, exactly. That was it too.
One last bit of mad online ad things. We have been sent this from Sunday Bake Day, which appears to be some sort of baking business in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, nice one.
All right. And it's one of those fitness things where it's like, have you ever seen this like no sugar challenge according to age? And it's loads of fitness pictures.
Oh yeah, I have seen that. Yeah, then each age is represented by each age range is represented by a different drawing of the ideal body for that age.
So the caption is no sugar challenge according to the age. And for some reason, the picture that represents these things is 18 to 25, it's a shredded guy with a man bun hugging and kissing a panther.
Oh.
Don't know what that means. 25 to 33, it's two shredded men hugging.
Oh no, I've just left that group.
Yeah, I'm no longer
two shredded men hugging.
Well, actually, to be fair, 33 to 44 is still another two shredded men hugging, but they're not blonde now.
Oh, phew. Okay, that's a relief.
So your era of being shredded and hugging another blonde man is over. Now you've got the right hair color for your age.
Okay, that's good. I can live
for your no sugar challenge age. 45 to 55 is an incredibly shredded kind of God of War looking dude hugging a lady.
Okay, so it gets better.
That's something to look forward to when you turn 45.
Yeah, and no longer hugging large cats.
Well, bad news, because once you turn 55, it's a lion again.
Oh, no. Why is there a lady in between all the large cats? You start with a large cat, and you end up with a large cat. Why?
You start with a panther, and then from 25 to 44, it's just other dudes. And then 45 to 55, you get 10 years with a lady. Then it's a lion.
Oh, man. Life sucks. Life sucks.
Life sucks. Choose life. Choose hugging a shredded lion. Choose spending your 10 years or the best years of your life hugging another shredded man. The whole monologue from Trainspotting, but based on whatever the fuck this No Sugar Challenge thinks life is. No Sugar Challenge. And it sort of has recipes. Also, some of the food they're suggesting for the No Sugar Challenge is banana. I don't mean to shock you, guy hugging a lion, but those three bananas you just ate before you went back to hugging that lion had quite a lot of fucking sugar in, man. What? And the lion just kills him immediately. And you know that? Well,
they never said it was an easy challenge, Pierre. The most challenging part is that part of the diet has sugar in it, and you're meant to avoid sugar. Well, yeah, now everyone has to try the No Bud Pod challenge, I'm afraid, because we've come to the end of this episode. If you want more this Friday, we have a Patreon episode coming out, so join our Patreon for bonus pod.
Yeah, boy.
Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Bye!
Bye!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.